This morning as I begin, I'm going to pray for us. I'm actually going to read a prayer, the Neil Anderson prayer, and it'll make a little more sense as we unfold this morning. I hope you're buckled in. I don't mean that figuratively. I mean that literally, because I think God is up to something. I think God is inviting us to join Him in some very specific ways in our lives to see what He's up to in this earth, because He is in love with the lost. And He's allowing us to join Him in the greatest adventure ever, and that's to see His name glorified and His kingdom advanced. And we get to participate in that. We're going to choose to engage Him today. So we bow our heads and close your eyes and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that You are right here in this room with us and that You are present in our lives right now. You're the only all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever-present God. We are completely dependent upon You because without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. We choose to stand the truth of Your Word and we refuse to believe the devil's lies. We thank You that the risen Lord Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Father, thank You that because we are in Christ, we share His authority in order to make disciples and set captives free. We ask You to protect our minds and bodies during this time. Please fill us with the Holy Spirit so He can guide us in all truth. We choose to submit to His guidance alone during this time. Please reveal to our minds everything that You want us to deal with today. We ask for and we trust in Your wisdom. We pray all this in the faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Last weekend, Kelly and I had the opportunity to go to Kentucky and begin the process of moving her mother from her home to an independent living facility. We drove a cargo van all the way. Part of that was through Atlanta. 5 o'clock. Praise God. If I didn't believe in purgatory, I struggled for about 2 hours there. I was teetering. That trip, we made it. But it took us 11 hours, normally takes us around 9 or so, okay? Because when Kelly and I stop on a trip, it's like a NASCAR race pit stop. We coordinate getting gas, getting snacks, and going to the bathroom, okay? I've said that to you before, but I want you to know I'm serious. We waste as little time as possible. So a prolonged trip is an irritating trip. It's an aggravating trip because you're thinking the whole way, we could have been there sooner. We could have arrived a little earlier. We could have arrived a little more something, less tired. We could have arrived getting ready to do the work that we were going there to do. And so throughout that trip, you're sitting there and I'm listening to something on my phone. She's listening to something on her phone. And the whole time I'm thinking, God wastes nothing. God wastes nothing. And trying to engage Him on this journey that's a task. It's more of a have to maybe at times or a get to. But God allowed us through His grace to complete the task last week, the first step at least in that task. But it was a journey. And we're on a journey as believers. We're on a journey to be all that God's called us to be, to have maximum impact for His kingdom, to seek and save that which is lost and set the captives free. But you know, one of those things about on the journey and being the captives free is this. Sometimes we're the ones that need to be set free first. Sometimes we're the ones that are in the most bondage. And so this week, this morning, as I share some thoughts with you on the journey, we're going to look at specifically, we're going to take some time to look in the mirror at ourselves and on the journey of breaking strongholds in our lives, the obstacles that keep us from experiencing all that God wants us to be. And even though we will not deal with everything this morning, we want to begin a process of being more than we are right now. Of hearing God clearer than we've ever heard Him, of experiencing God more than we've ever experiencing, of understanding who He is and how He's working our lives more than we've ever done before. What's at stake? Intimacy. What's at stake? The power of God being experienced in us to go through us. So often, how many times, if you're really to evaluate your prayer life, how many times does it sound more something like this? God, if only You would do something in so-and-so's life. God, if You would change such and such circumstance. Instead of saying, God, in me, what is the stronghold that holds me back from experiencing You the most? We live in a culture of comparison. We live in a culture that loves to use shame. We live in a culture that loves to throw fears at us. Unfortunately, so often, even as believers, we succumb to those. We give in to those lies. Wounds hurt us we're not healed from. We believe lies and becomes our new reality and truth. And we make decisions out of fear instead of being intimately involved with God in our lives and allowing Him to speak to us and speak through us. we allow something else on the outside. In fact, we basically form our own new reality. Well, this morning we're going to look at some scriptures. I'm going to hopefully give you some very specific points, things that will not be new to most of you. But we need to realize something today, that God is calling us to a deeper relationship. So on this journey, we get to choose. Do we want more, or are we going to settle for less? And so this morning, as we look at our first scripture, the journey of breaking stronghold, Paul writes to the Corinthians a second time, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power, more than you and I can experience." It is a divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. The reason why Paul had to write that, or one of the reasons why Paul had to write that, was this. The Corinthian church had experienced something. They had experienced false teachers. False teachers had invaded that area of Corinth and was telling lies to the church, in particular lies about Paul. So Paul is under attack and he finds out about it. So he writes a letter to address it. But instead of complaining, or instead of saying, we need to do this or this or this, he tells the Corinthian church something very specifically in these few verses. The divine power of God is greater than man's greatest wisdom. That the divine power of God is capable of setting us free from those lies. That it won't be through smooth talk, great planning, the perception of power, or some contrived authority that we're going to see these false teachers exposed. That we need to realize today that our freedom comes through a divine power, a divine longing. And I gave to you the definition of stronghold, a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. A place where a particular cause or belief is strongly upheld or defended. So let me ask you a question this week. We'll get right to it. What areas of your life are you struggling with feeling defeated? Here's another framework for the culture I believe we live in. You ready? I said cultural comparisons, deciding our own truth, pain avoidance. I believe we live in a culture where people wake up in the morning and one of their first thoughts is, oh Lord, I didn't get enough sleep. And they go to bed at night saying, oh Lord, I didn't get enough done. That is oppressive. We're the most out of shape, obese, unhealthy, medicated generation that's ever walked the face of the earth. That isn't the non-Christians. That's the people that claim they know Jesus Christ. As we see this letter to the Corinthians this morning, this is a starting point, a launching point. Begin to ask yourself this morning, where do you battle the truth? Where do you battle the truth in your life? How are you fighting the lies? How are you fighting the strongholds in your life? Are you trying to manipulate? Are you trying to use smooth words? Are you trying to come up with a comparison to where you can feel good about yourself as you look around to the people around in your lives? Be careful this morning, because I want you to know something. God has been whipping my tail all week about idols in my life. And I want you to know the very first thing I told God after He exposed this to me this morning or this week, I said, what idols? I don't have anything on my fireplace mantle that looks like an idol. He said, let me begin gently with you, Dane. How about this one? Blaming somebody else for your life's problem. Not allowing me to renew your mind. How about conditional love? How about fear of and fill in the blank? You see, a lot of times we put strongholds in some category for somebody else. Or maybe it's something you've dealt with in the past that you need to still deal with today. Because pulling down strongholds is the context we think of at times of perceptions contradicting the true knowledge of God and the nature of God. I want you to think about that for a second. Strongholds often contradict the true knowledge of God and the nature of God. Do you struggle with the lie today that you are not worth loving? Do you struggle today with some fear of the unknown? Do you struggle with the lie of, I'll never be more than my family says I am or my family has lived like? We would call that a generational curse of sorts. So this morning, what's at stake? Not just your heart, not just your mind. How about all the people you impact? How about all the people that God is placing in your life to help them deal with some issues, to help them deal with some lies and fears, some things that paralyze them? Because I want you to know, as John gets ready to put up another picture for me, I think often this is the life we live. We're the striped fox, dead on the side of the road, and somebody just paved over us like we weren't even there. They were just laying there. Someone just came by. This is a real picture, by the way. Just laying there. Somebody just going through life, just doing what they do, and just paints right over this, becomes the striped fox. That God cares more than to leave you and not minister to you, not care for you, not love on you. Those strongholds must be demolished. Fear is paralyzing us, lies are shaming us, and wounds are killing us. And they're separating us from God, His body, and His Word, and from the people in our lives that genuinely care about us. We have to evaluate ourselves honestly and openly this morning. As we move forward, what's at stake? Lives, souls, hearts, minds. So this morning, we see the striped fox up there. What are we going to do about it as we're on this journey? As we're on this journey, understanding that God really does have an intimacy for us. Because I think we need to realize something. I think so often in my life, maybe not your life, but so often in my life, I feel like I'm praying for more of God to do something in my life through me, when God is saying, all I want to do is for you to experience me more fully. That God has some things for me to experience for Him more fully. You know, I've been using the word a lot in my life over the last few months about God bringing me into alignment with what He's doing. What all is He doing? I don't know. And you know something? I'm going to stop concerning myself with what I don't know, and I'm going to begin to concern myself with what I do know, and that's Him and His love for me. I'm going to begin to walk in that truth. Because God didn't speak to me last week about idols because He doesn't love me. He spoke to me because He has more for me to do for His glory and honor. And I cannot sit still and allow God to just stir in me, knowing that He and I are going together on this journey. That He and I are moving together. You know, last week when I tell you about Kelly and I with that long trip to Kentucky, this was a terrible thought, so I admit it to begin with, okay? We're working on like our second wreck that we're in the traffic of. And Kathy, for those who knows what this is, she uses the Waze app. That's the app you put on your phone. It tells you your path, but always works you around. Automatically tells you the path around a wreck or slow traffic. Kind of helps you maneuver all those kinds of things. Well, I had two extreme aggravating points. The first one, not so bad. The second one is shameful, but I'll tell you anyway. The first one is this. I look at that thing, I said, Kathy, are you telling me that that thing doesn't have a better route than just to keep going through this? She goes, yeah, it says that the fastest way is just to sit here in traffic. What kind of nonsense? Who in their right mind thinks that's a better plan? And so we start looking around. Sure enough, it was shorter to go through the traffic than it was to just try to figure out a way to go through the country. That was the one that wasn't too bad. The second one was this. We're in Tennessee, and Waze says there's an app. And here was my thought. Judge me harshly. What idiot had another wreck? I was literally irritated at somebody else as if they had planned to ruin my day. It's kind of like sometimes you probably have done this. Maybe not, but I have. I have actually blamed Satan himself for the most ridiculous things I can come up with. I can be sitting in a drive-thru at a restaurant somewhere and honestly have thought to myself, Has the devil himself conspired today to raise my blood pressure because this line hasn't moved in 10 minutes and all I want is some French fries or something to drink? But those weren't for me. They were for somebody else. Do you remember that part? Do you remember that part? That part's truth. If I'm confessing what I thought about somebody's wreck, I think I can confess French fries and a Coke. Okay? All right. Now, if I'd have said Duck Donuts, that is for me. All right. Church, let's embrace the truth that God is speaking to, not because He's against us, but because He's for us. Let's look at some scriptures. The journey, breaking strongholds, says in John 14, 6 through 7. Jesus said, I am the road. I am the road. I'm also the truth. I'm also life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know Him. In fact, the experience you've had with God to this should create a hunger in you to experience more of God for the next point. The creation or God's moving in your life should create something in you that longs for the more of Him, the more personal part of I see this scripture this morning, church, is simply something that we quote so often, but we struggle with living out in life. Tomorrow, work, life, whatever happens. And we're like, yeah, somebody said something about the way, the truth, and the life. That's usually the version we quote. But where is it? Where is it? It's accessible through battling something. The first point I gave you today for the battle plan is be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself and take inventory of your life. Be offensive-minded. You are in a battle. Embrace it. It's not somebody else's battle. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not somebody else's responsibility. It is mine. It is yours. Embrace it. You're in a battle. You're in a battle for your mind. You're in a battle to keep you basically paralyzed, to keep you in a battle that says, no, God has forgotten about you. And your battle plan better involve the very first step of saying, I know I'm in a battle. I don't understand every detail of it, and I will never understand all the details of this battle, but I acknowledge I'm in a real battle. That doesn't mean Satan's behind every corner. There's a demon behind every bush. In fact, most often, I think it's my flesh that does an awesome job of stirring myself up. That's why I gave you some of those examples. It wasn't anybody else's fault, those thoughts I just had. That wasn't somebody else's fault. There was a battle. There is a battle. But God's grace was good to us last weekend, as it is every day, but I felt it in a tangible way. There was an overwhelming sense of peace. But you know what happened when we're on the way to Kentucky leading up to it? And I'm kind of jumping ahead to one of my other points because I got two slides of battle plans for you this morning. Is this. We may have gone physically alone, but we didn't go up there spiritually alone. We asked dozens of people to be praying for us because I knew there would be a battle up there. But we didn't feel the battle. We didn't see the battle. Because I believe God gave us just an overwhelming bubble of peace and sense of like, hey, you know what? I'm with you right here. I am here. But I acknowledge before I left that there could be a battle. Another one is know the truth. And I did put Jesus there as I referenced that scripture is this. Because I wanted you to ask you a serious question this morning. Do you know the person or do you know about the person? You see, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And it's not too long in this scripture before he's getting ready to be crucified. And he looks at him, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You want to see him, you have seen him. And then, after this passage, one of the disciples says, really? Dane's paraphrase. Honest to goodness, as a parent, if I'd have said something to my son about, like, I've shown you this 1,000 times, and you still don't know what I'm talking about, I would have probably said something like, you stupid or what? Do you know the person, or do you know about him? Because I told you earlier, lies shame us, fears paralyze us, and wounds separate us. God doesn't dig up something from the past to hurt. He digs up something from the past to hurt because He does everything out of love. And if you don't realize that it's done in love, then you will think it's done out of something besides love. Another one is pray for your enemies. Why is that important to the battle? You don't have to answer me. I just want you to think about it. Why is that important? Pray for your enemies, forgive others. Well, one is Jesus commanded those two things. He said, pray for your enemies and forgive others. There's a lot of reasons that I can't go into this morning that I think those are important to the battle, but I give you these couple of things other than it was commanded. But the second was simply this. Those are not about you. Those are about looking inward to look at somebody else. Those are about looking inward to look at somebody else. Praying for your enemies. Now, I don't know who your enemies are because honest to goodness, I don't know that I can really list enemies, but it seems like they find me on a daily basis in some form, some capacity. They may not look like they should. What I mean by that is simply this. It may just be somebody slow doing something that I need done. It might just be something little, but instead of saying, wait a second, they're not my enemy. I create an enemy. And I think we got to be careful of that. I think we got to remember something too. If God has placed them in your life, and you consider them someone who's against you, someone who gossips about you, who someone talks about you, someone who has hurt you, then therefore God's given you the responsibility to forgive and to pray for. So as we see this as part of our battle today, as we see this is you're in a battle, embrace it, know the truth, Jesus the person, and pray for our enemies and forgive others. And the next one says in Hebrews 12:1-2, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which entangles or which clings to us so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's camp there for just a second before we get to those things. Okay? I told you today there's a lot, and I can only start at the tip of the mountain for us today about breaking strongholds, being free, living in a full life that God has for us. And there's this. You see what it says? He despised the shame. I think something significant for us today is this. I think many of us struggle with shame more than we think we do. And the reason why I tell you that is this. Let's go back in history a little bit. And I heard Dusty talking about with his 930 group, so thank you for prefacing me a little bit, Dusty. And that is the story of the garden. I want you to think about something with me for a second. The story of the garden, Adam and Eve. After their sin, Adam and Eve, when God encountered them, there was an interesting question after Eve made a profound statement. Eve says when God confronts them, we were naked. And God does not look at them and say, you're right, you're shameful. He looks at them and he asks a question. And this is the question, and I guarantee you something that some of you, who told you that you were shameful? Who told you you never amount to anything? Who told you that you weren't worth loving? Who told you you weren't worth investing in? Who told you that tomorrow it wouldn't be any better? Who told you that Jesus didn't die for you? Who told you the last lie that you believed? Who told you what you believe right now? Is it someone God has used to impart truth to you? Or is it somebody, a lie that you believe and you've been walking in and living in for years? Or it may be yesterday. Who told you? I think those are powerful words. And it was right at the beginning. Who told you that you wouldn't amount to anything? God didn't tell you that. God didn't tell you that at all. Because if He told you that, and then He says all these other things about you, then He's contradicting Himself and He's a liar. And God's not a liar. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So I want you to start with something this morning for me right now, this very moment, right now. What's the last lie you believed about yourself, about God in your life? Because God's ready to break you free of that lie. You see, one way to look at this is this. Guilt is something that you did that is bad, and shame is believing you are bad. And when you believe you are bad, you know what you're doing? You're saying God created bad. You're saying that God created garbage. God created junk. God made a mistake. He makes no mistakes. He can't lie. He can only tell the truth. He can't hate. He only loves. He hates sin, but He doesn't hate any of His creation. He loves His creation. So who told you the last lie that you believed? Because we're looking to break it free of it. Part of the battle plan, we're taking inventory. We're going to say no to temptation. We're not just going to flee it. We can flee it, but we're going to say no. We're going to become aggressive. We're going to get to work. We're going to battle it. We're going to be aware of what we look at on our phones, on our laptops, our computers. We're going to be aware of how we use our time. We're going to have a mindset that's different than we've ever been because we are the children of God. We are called to be the salt and the light, and we will be nothing less. And God's going to continue to work in our lives till we are the salt and light as He intended for us to be. So when I tell you say no to temptation, God does not want you to continue to struggle in the temptation. He wants you to be set free from the temptation and know how to battle that temptation. And therefore, as we take thoughts captive, we're going to renew our minds. We're going to do what Romans tells us to do. We're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're going to check our mindsets. We're going to check our thought life. And we're going to see what the mind, does it equal what God is saying about us? Is it the truth? Are we filling our lives with truth? So we're saying no to temptation. We're taking thoughts captive. And then we're going to put on battle armor, Ephesians 6. I didn't put it up there. You can go look it up if you're not familiar with it. Ephesians 6, Paul talks about writing and says, we're in a war. We're in a war. And it is real. For your mind, it's for your heart. You know, see, Satan can't steal your salvation, but he can sure try to mess with your purpose. He can sure mess with your life. He can sure mess with your mind. So we got to be prepared. You know, one of the great things I love about when Paul talks about the battle armor right there in Ephesians 6, it's not as if he is suggesting it. He's commanding it. So when you turn to Ephesians 6, you need to realize something. That's not on the day you remember it. That's an everyday thing. Satan can't take tomorrow off because what's at stake is eternal judgment. And he's trying to prolong that as long as he possibly can. So what's at stake? You're living the abundant life. You need to take Ephesians 6 very, very seriously. Next one, evaluate the fruit of your life. Evaluate the fruit of your life. Are people drawn to you? Are people wanting to know more about what you have? Are people looking to you to give advice, to dispense wisdom, to show love? Evaluate the fruit of your life. Be honest. Take honest inventory. We got to be honest with ourselves today. And the last one is no isolation. No isolation. I started out a while ago telling you that when Kelly and I were going to Kentucky last weekend, the one of the first things we did, we had a bunch of people praying for us because it's not always an easy task. I think the next time I'm going to do is I'm going to give them a map and pray for the most direct route with no wrecks, no delays, and that all the bathrooms are clean and we find the cheapest gas instantly. Now that sounds crazy, but why don't we think like that? Why do we categorize big things and little things to God when they're all important things to Him? Nothing about you doesn't matter to Him. Let me say that to you again. Nothing about you doesn't matter to Him. Nothing. Nothing doesn't matter. I want you to know something. I spent a lot of my life chasing being capable instead of walking in my fully called. I spent a lot of my life chasing being capable when God said, you're fully called, walk. I'm not bottom feeding. I'm not trying to get by. I want all He has for me, and I don't want it tomorrow, and I don't want it in heaven. I want all He has for me right now. And I know that there's a battle against that. There's a battle for my mind and for my heart. But I take those things very seriously because everything I just listed to you, and I could have listed more. You guys could listen. Those are kind of the top ones that come to my mind on a regular basis. And this morning, as you look at your own journey, where do you need freedom? Where are some struggles in your life? What are you believing about yourself? What have you believed about God, about yourself? As we look at some closing questions here, that we can see these, what areas of your life are you struggling with feeling defeated? I asked you that early on. That's a redundant question now. What lies are you feeling, are you believing about yourself and about God? In whom are you placing trust? Do you remember the first scripture I gave to you today? It was Paul, and he was talking to the church in Corinth, and he was reminding them of something. Yes, false teachers have come to attack me, but I'm not going to defend myself in human. I'm going to defend myself in God because He's going to defend me also. He is standing with me. And I'm not going to use my human reasoning, my smooth talk, my lording it over somebody. I'm not going to gossip about them. I'm going to watch how God defends me because I am walking closely with Him. And because I'm walking closely with Him, I really do believe and not against me. I believe the truth about me and not what somebody else says about me. In fact, Paul goes on and says this, who I am and what I do, I will be found out as a true apostle. Trust in what God is doing in your life, but take honest. In whom are you placing trust today? I ask you again, who said that about you? Who said that about you? How are the lies paralyzing you? How are the wounds crippling you? How are, and you fill in the blank, making you feel defeated? Because God is a God that frees. In fact, how often in Scripture do we hear words like these? He came to set us free. We're no longer a slave or have a yoke to sin. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we see a resounding throughout Scripture. Freedom. God didn't put Adam and Eve out of the garden to hurt them. He put them out of the garden to protect them. He did it out of love because He knew if they ate all that tree where it was going to cause them death and life, they would die without Him. So God's love is so merciful today. As God's protecting you and He's walking in you, where are you like an intimate? I'm just going to begin to pray for us this morning. I'm going to start with that one right there. It's up there before all of us. I'm going to read it out loud. Dear Lord, please guide my mind as I evaluate my life. Help me to truly understand myself. I want to grow and glorify Your name. I commit myself to the renewing of my mind in order to prove that Your will is good, acceptable, and perfect for me. I submit my body to You as an instrument of righteousness, a living and holy sacrifice, that I may glorify You in my body. All this I pray in the name and authority of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lot better on the journey with people than it is trying to go it. This morning, as all the pastors will be down here to pray with you, to pray for you, I'd encourage you to take advantage of that. You got your cards. We also offer a thing that a lot of you have heard of, but not all of you have, called Steps to Freedom, where it's a more personal time with you, looking at all areas of your life that you may struggle with. You may just struggle with some fears that you wouldn't want to tell anybody about, but you know they're just paralyzing you. You may struggle with thought lives that you just know it's paralyzing you. You just want to talk to somebody about that. You can talk to Dusty or Rick and I about that. It's called the Steps to Freedom. So look at that prayer and look at those questions. As Gary, you can come on down. As our altar will be open, what is God stirring on your heart today? You can be released into all that He has for you. Okay? So let's pray. Let me pray for us one more time. Father, You're a good God.
You're a God who is sovereign. God, you do not do anything that's not done. And Father, I ask protection over this body that are attached to it. The altar's open. You get somebody to pray with. Come pray at the altar with somebody or pray with one of the pastors. Hey, two things I would encourage you to do today amongst a thousand things, but two I definitely encourage you is that one, evaluate or ask yourself a question. Do I live a wholehearted life or do I feel like my heart's in peace? Because God's a wholehearted God. He created us in love. We're created in the image of God. And it says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. You're created to love. And if there's anything that keeps you from experiencing that both ways, it needs to be dealt with. Second thing I'd encourage you to do about today is this. What is God asking you to just turn over to Him? What is God asking you just to turn over to Him? It might be something tangible, by the way. It might not be an emotion. It might not be a fear. It may not be a lie. It might be something tangible. What is God asking you to turn over to Him?
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to say thank you guys so much for all your prayers and thoughts. It really meant a lot. And just to see how many people really love and care about me speaks the world. And you guys really, truly are the hands and feet of Christ. And I just wanted to thank you. Thank you. Thank you for walking where God is calling you to go.
For those who don't know, Priscilla had a bike wreck and tried to kill the pavement. And so she has shoulder surgery, the one that's covered up. So don't touch her on her left shoulder and don't touch Austin Seidner on his right shoulder. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your working in our lives. Thank you that you're not finished. You're not going to stop. You're not going to quit. And you're not going to let up. So God, we just praise you. We honor you. We bless you. May we be doing those things when this day ends. In Jesus' name, amen.